He was always pretty full of energy. He was kind of skinny, and I realized that we were about the same height. And I was like, well, you know, I could probably exist on whatever it is that he's eating. I'm gonna find out what it is. So I wrote down, a whole bunch of what he, I, you know, I would observe him, and I'd write down the kind of things that he would eat.
Just like
And
on the
then,
sly.
right, well, no. I told him that I was doing it.
Okay.
I told him that I was doing it. And you remember when I was losing weight so that you and I would weigh the same amount?
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the system that I started using for that.
So that was your rapid weight loss diet, was the Boas Frankel diet?
Well, yeah, it started out that way, and then I eventually, altered it to the point where it wasn't the same. So now I'm going back to sort of the original, but I have altered it again.
So,
Just because I eat differently, I like to eat different things than Boaz does.
right. So, what is the Boas Frankel diet?
Okay, well, I can do one of two things. I can sort of I could pull it up on my phone and read you exactly what it is, or I could just sort of tell you.
I don't need to know exactly what it is. Just
Okay.
give me a rough
So
outline.
here it's basically you have three main meals, right? All of which have small amounts of stuff, but still food. And then you have three snacks. So basically you eat six times a day.
Okay.
And normally, see, because normally what I do is I graze. I eat a little bit every day. But I eat constantly. So if you add it all up, it's a lot.
Well, I mean, when you graze, are you eating a lot?
Well, it depends. Yeah, I mean, it adds up, is what I'm saying, I guess.
Okay.
So, for instance, I might eat three bananas in a day, right? Which is a lot of bananas.
A lot of banana.
But it, and then but then also three other things, and also, three handfuls of almonds, and eventually it all, that was when I was grazing. Now, Boas Frankel diet. Because what I was doing eventually was my fitness pal, where I would type in everything that I eat, and that
Right.
got annoying for people. And so the thing that the Boas Frankel diet does is it allows me to kind of, just keep in mind, okay, this is about how much I should eat at this point in time.
Yeah.
So I'm not writing anything down, but I'm just keeping the parameters in. So basically in the morning it's cereal
Okay.
and milk. I have cereal and milk. Although if I wanted to, I could also eat, instead of cereal and milk, like eggs and toast.
Now, are we talking cow
Or,
milk or soy milk or goat milk or almond milk or
soy milk.
soy milk?
Or in this case, it was soy milk when I wrote it down, but in this case, it's almond milk and coconut milk, kind of a blend.
Okay.
And in this one, it's unsweetened. Because, that way the cereal milk isn't overpowered by the other
Right.
milk
You
flavor
get
kind of
an
thing.
you
So
you
that.
you get enough sweetness with, well, depending on what kind of cereal you eat, but you get enough sweetness with the cereal.
And that's the thing, is the cereal that I have been choosing is pretty sweet.
Yeah. What's
Cinnamon
your
Toast
cereal?
Crunch was the original. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is what I like.
Okay. Yeah,
But then
that's
there's
pretty sweet.
also Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh, I like
Because
Honey
I'm
Nut.
out of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I actually have a bar I bought a box of Honey Nut Cheerios the last time I went grocery shopping.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, it was my favorite cereal, my favorite like non like candy like cereal growing up. I'm not talking about Lucky Charms or Sugar Smacks or
Yeah.
anything like that.
Kix. I have some of those at work, but I don't eat. This is the other thing, is I used to just leave and then start eating as soon as I got to work. Now what I do, right, is I eat my bowl of cereal. Could eat eggs if I wanted to. Could eat a bowl of oatmeal if I wanted to. It's a like a one part of a breakfast thing,
Yeah.
whatever it is. Then I brush my teeth,
Good
and
idea.
then I drive to work, and then around and breakfast is around 6:30. 6:30 to 7,
Right.
that's breakfast time. And then I brush my teeth, go to work, eat a piece of fruit, usually, around 9.
Do you have a type of fruit that you prefer?
I like bananas.
Okay. Just one banana, though? But, you're just eating one banana?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd also, you know, a mango or an apple or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then for, and then at 11:30 or 12 is lunch. And there I have, I've had a peanut butter bagel. I eat a bagel with some peanut butter on it. That's my lunch.
Get your protein.
And then exactly. Yep. And then the next snack is again, a piece of fruit or a veggie of some kind. And then also, if I wanted to, 2 times a week, I can have a cookie. So that's pretty good. And then now is dinner time. Normally for dinner, it's like, okay, so here are the things. It's like veggie stir fry, or you could also have like what I'm making now. Now, this is not what Boaz would eat. This is me eating it. Kosher hot dog. Kosher bun. Boaz does not eat meat other than fish. So you could also have a piece of fish or, you know, something of that nature.
Right.
Just, you know, small. And then finally around 9 o'clock, I could have a tofutti cutie or another bowl of cereal. And then that's it. Now, when you think about it, it's not starvation. You're eating a lot, but the calories that, that I'm eating are very much reduced.
And you find this works better for you than multiple smaller meals during the day?
Well, it is kind of multiple smaller meals during the day. You know, but 6 rather than an infinity of smaller meals, which
right.
is what I have been doing
right.
up until this
point.
I
have heard nutritionists say, and this is all depending on your specific type of metabolism, that eating multiple small meals during the day is a lot better for you than eating 3 large meals.
Yeah, I think that's that's probably the case. Oh man. The cat's bowl got knocked over. It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Hey, a little bit of housekeeping here. Have you started recording on your recorder?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, good. I've been recording this whole time.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
How about you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I started. I'm proud of you, Paul. You know, that's at one point when we were talking, all you did was you just basically ate protein shakes.
Yeah.
Which, it can't be good for you in the long term.
No, probably not. Although, you know, there's some other stuff that I've been looking at that I have these emergency rations I bought. I'm not going to eat them until it's an emergency.
Do you just keep them in your car or something?
I keep them in the house, yeah.
Oh.
I could move them to the car. That would probably be a smart idea.
I've been meaning, and, you know, I've been meaning to do a lot of things, but what I should do is get some bottles of water and some protein bars and put them underneath my desk. And I'll tell you why. We've been having some earthquakes up here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. And
I've heard about that.
Yeah, last night the Kitsap Peninsula was rocked by, I think, 6 small earthquakes. And so I do work and spend most of my day in an unreinforced masonry building. You are familiar with Annex Theater.
Oh, yes.
And I have the impression that if the large one hits, I am going to probably be in the theater sitting at my desk. And one of my biggest fears is not being crushed by a building, but surviving in a crushed building.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so basically I should probably just keep some water, keep some food underneath my desk in case the horrible inevitableness happens. But now that I'm looking at this desk, I don't think this desk is going to survive the ceiling coming. And this is your old desk. This is the old IKEA desk that you once had. Is the one?
Wait, what?
The one I'm still your IKEA jerker is the name of the desk. And
wait a second. Let me ask a question. Were you using that desk the last time that I, when I went in to Annex Theater, recorded my vocals for the Coffee Table season three.
Yeah.
Were you using my old desk?
Yeah. No, this is the desk. I think you had this desk. I think you bought it when you and Jennifer moved into your apartment on Cherry. And I think when you moved out of that place, you gave it to Annex. I'm not quite sure of the provenance.
I did not remember that.
I do know this was your desk. I do not remember why it is now mine.
Well, I do give you my stuff every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Hey, Ben, here's this, even if you don't want it.
Paul, no, seriously.
Would never use it.
I've had one. I don't need it. No, take it. Take it. It's great. You'll love it.
So, I'm going to need a hot dog right now. Do you have any story of anything?
I just told you one about the earthquakes that are happening.
Did I tell you that Jill Garden and, oh my gosh, is it Hannah or Hannah? Oh, Hannah or Hannah, I'm very sorry that your pronunciation.
I did see that on Twitter that you were hanging out with them, and I had to wonder why.
Yeah, they took a picture of me. Maybe it's somewhere out there.
I had to wonder why.
But yeah, they were
Hannah Kay's name sounded familiar, and that's because she has admitted to listening to the podcast at some point in the past.
Indeed, and I'm sure the correct pronunciation of her name is on this podcast. I'm feeling really bad about it.
I would guess that it is Hannah because there's probably an 80-20 split between like 80% of the people who have that name spelled like that pronounce it Hannah and 20% pronounce it Hannah.
Which is why I think it's Hannah because I feel like I did it wrong the first time. But they're great. They're both great. They have dogs. Dogs are great.
Dogs
and,
are great.
Joe Garden, much taller than you would think he was. I don't know how to describe it.
I haven't.
And you remember? I've told you this before. You and I saw Joe Garden together when we watched Big Fan.
Was he in the theater?
No, he was. He was the guy who said that Costco is like in their pants or something like that. I don't know. There's a line about how Costco is afraid of his company.
Oh, he's in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't remember. The only thing I remember about that movie is the embarrassing turnout.
Hmm. Yeah, I still don't get that.
Which was also great because we sat in the front row and got to talk to Patton Oswalt. But
yeah, it was great. And the movie was great, too. That's the other thing.
No, it wasn't a bad movie.
I think it was Patton Oswalt who pointed out that it's not a sports film. Like, it got marketed as a sports film, and it totally isn't a sports film. So that might be part of it.
No.
Part of the issue.
Well, anyway.
So, let's see.
So, hey, how about that news, huh? Lots of news coming out.
So, tell me what you think about the news while I'm eating this.
I am trying to keep a centrist mind and not feel too complacent when I see left-leaning clickbait articles saying Trump's firing of Comey is the first step towards impeachment. A lot of left, I don't want to call them fake news sites, but I want to call them really extremely partisan clickbait sites. Sites like Occupy Democrats and the like are saying this is just, you know, when Trump fired Comey, what was it, on Monday? Like, this is it. This is the end. Impeachment proceedings are going to start now. I'm like, no, they're not. Republicans control the House and Senate. They're not going to start impeaching Trump at the moment. The White House came out and said that they fired Comey, or Trump fired Comey, because of his handling of Hillary's emails. And I think the entire country, even Republicans, went, oh, come on.
Yeah. This is the thing that I was talking about a little bit online the whole thing with gaslighting.
Yeah.
The thing that makes you crazy isn't that people are lying and they're convincing, it's that they're lying and you're like, oh, come on. No. Why, how come? Like, they're not good at it. There's no artistry. There's no, like, sneakiness for real. It's like...
Put some effort into your spin.
Exactly. That's the point. So that's going on. Let's see, what else? There are a couple things. One is that apparently the guy who's in charge of the FBI right now,
yeah,
got in trouble because of something that helped out one of the Clintons at some point in time. I don't remember exactly.
I didn't hear that.
Anyway, the speculation is that he's going to get let go pretty soon because he said that he is not going to tell the White House how the investigation's going. And people are like, well, it was nice knowing you. You're not long for...
So
we'll see how that goes.
Right? I think somebody tweeted, looking forward to Ted Nugent, FBI Director Ted Nugent's findings on the Russia scandal.
Yeah. I have a couple of people who I think might be a good pick for the FBI. And by that, I mean a good pick for Trump.
Good pick? Well, I think two names that were already floated were Chris Christie and Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, both those guys maybe, but... There are some other people.
It's
like
find somebody who has said in the past, I think we should do away with the FBI, and that person is going to become the new acting director.
That's exactly right. Yes, you've hit the nail on the head. there's that guy who allegedly let a prisoner die of thirst in his jail. That's one that people are floating.
What was that? Sheriff Arpaio from Arizona. Remember that guy?
Wait, what's his name?
Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He was this long-standing sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona. And he was famous for his treatment of prisoners. He reinstituted chain gangs, I believe. One other thing he did was he made the prisoners wear pink shirts, I guess because that de-emasculated them, maybe.
Yeah.
Finally, I believe within this last year, voted out. So he's looking for a job.
That's part of it. I mean, here's the thing. What the FBI is going to become under this administration, I believe, now I could be wrong, of course, but I think they're going to focus solely on domestic issues. It's going to be a lot of hacking. Investigation. It's going to have a cyber arm for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the things.
Cyber arm.
That's.
Go ahead.
It's one of the things that Trump wants them to focus on is not, not the quantity of the information, not the quantity, not the information that has escaped, but the way it has escaped. He wants to find the leakers.
Right.
The information is true. We're not saying it's true or not. We're just saying we want to find out who did it.
There's that. And then there's also the infiltration of protest groups. That'll be the other big one.
Ah, yes.
Oh, and then also...
I'm waiting for my check. ICE. I heard the protesters were paid. I'm waiting for my check.
Well, Ben, let me ask you a question. Were you actually protesting, Ben?
No, I didn't march.
See... You don't get paid.
I accidentally marched against science when I was coming to work one day.
Oh no!
they were walking down Pine. I was walking up Pine. You know, I was heading to work.
There's something that I do definitely want to point out, and that's as I've mentioned, there are people that I work with who I am friendly with who believe differently than I do politically.
Of course.
And one of the things, the whole concept of the paid protester. I found out where it comes from.
Where does it come from?
Craigslist ads that say, hey, do you want to make extra money to shut down the government? apply here, you can make up to $5,000. You know, you remember that, right?
Yes.
You've seen those.
I have seen those.
And you're from Seattle.
Yes.
And I'm not going to make us say it in unison, but what are those jobs for?
Canvassers.
Canvassers. That is absolutely correct. We could have said it in unison. I wish I would have.
Those are those. Because, yes. Those exactly. are people who stand on the sidewalk with clipboards and ask you if you want to stop and talk for a minute and then eventually get your credit card number.
Right. Exactly. If you don't live in a big city, you may not be familiar with those people. And therefore, you may think that what they're doing is going out and protesting.
Is this is this true? Is it what is this what one of your coworkers pointed out as how they recruit protesters?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
There were ads for them in Craigslist. I saw it. They said that you could make $5,000. And those ads do exist, but they're for canvassers. People who ride the buses, for instance, with their clipboards and ask people on the bus, hey, who are you planning on voting for? Did you know about this? Blah, blah, blah.
I know. Sort of. Do you have time to talk about Planned Parenthood? All the canvassers, especially in Seattle, I don't know. I've never seen a canvasser for a pro-conservative position in Seattle.
I also have not.
But I actively go out of my way to avoid them. I support Planned Parenthood. I support gay rights. I do not want to talk to you.
Yes. And that is the huge thing that I think that's where the disconnect is lying as far as that part goes.
Yeah. That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Ben.
Paul.
It's time for me to bring up the thing that I sent you. I tweeted at you.
Oh, you did. Yes.
Also, by the way, good job tweeting more, Ben. I like it when you tweet the funny things.
I've been tweeting. I think I've tweeted more in the past 2 days than I have in the last couple months.
Yeah, it's totally true. So, all right. So here's the thing. As you know, my wife, Jennifer Pratt, listens to the show now. And she gives her critique of the facts on our show. For those of you who are just listening and have picked this episode to start out with, for whatever reason, Ben and I have a long-standing thing now where we don't use Google or any other reference material online, Wikipedia, what have you, when we talk about this.
Right.
We call it keeping it wrong.
Keeping it wrong.
And, but my wife does research stuff. Now, here's the thing that is kind of crazy. She doesn't use the internet always when she's doing these critiques. From what I can tell.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
She just knows that we're wrong. She knows we're wrong, and then she looks it up just to verify.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes she doesn't even look it up, but I trust her.
We spit out a lot of facts. And
incorrect
so
facts.
Incorrect facts. And so I would...
if they're incorrect, are they facts? I suppose...
We spit out what we say, what we think are facts, and it would take a while for someone to fact check every single thing that we said.
Oh, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I saw a quote from somebody just recently, and I'm going to garble what I said online was a little bit more eloquent, but there's this sentiment that somebody said that says, facts don't care about your feelings, right? These are just facts. Yeah. Facts don't care about your feelings. And my answer to that is this. A fact, quote unquote, right, is something in the human languages to make sense of a natural phenomenon, and it is geared specifically to be understood by human beings who are thinking, feeling people. So the temperature on a certain day, right, that is an undisputable thing,
right,
a force of nature, right? But the fact that the temperature is whatever Fahrenheit, that is a human measurement of what the temperature is what it is. Human measurements are taken to explain things to the human world. And so if there's Betty, what are you doing? Oh, Betty was saying definition of fact is on dictionary.com. I'm talking to Ben. Trying to make a point. Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. You're
doing it. Oh, I don't know how this is happening.
What's going on?
I'm getting dunked on by my child. Stop it. all right. So here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
If someone says, well, you know, more people die from malnutrition than handguns. Facts don't care about your feelings. Well, you know, it's like those two, that fact, and I'm just throwing that out there as an example.
Of course.
That idea, more people die from malnutrition than handguns. You say facts don't care about your feelings. You've presented it in a specific way to elicit a certain emotional response. You can't say facts don't care about your feelings because facts are
facts provided. Facts don't care about your feelings, but you can present facts in such a way as to manipulate feelings.
And all facts, right? All facts, by the nature of what the word fact is, right? And that is
true thing.
A piece of information, but stated for another person. A measurement given to someone. They're meant to be consumed by human beings. I would say dogs don't care about facts. That's absolutely true.
Fact. Dogs don't care about facts.
Facts do not care about your feelings. That is correct. That is because facts are not people.
All right. Well, now
but the person who is presenting the fact is doing it specifically because anyway.
Now that we've proselytized on facts, do we want to know what we got wrong last week?
Yeah.
All right. So I've just opened this email. I haven't read it yet. So we're reading this together. All right, okay. So episode 64, which was last week, Ben claims the population of downtown Seattle is 800,000. As of 2016, according to Seattle OPCD, the downtown urban center population is 24,347.
Wait. So you were off by how much?
Well, keep listening.
Okay.
I claim the population of downtown Seattle...
Hold on, Ben. Betty.
Sorry.
No. I'm going into another room.
I just want to know.
I will tell you. I'll talk to you about it during the Talking to Betty segment. Sorry, Ben. I didn't mean to yell directly into this microphone.
I'm sorry.
It's not that. It's that you can't hear Ben, so you're interrupting him, but you didn't know you were interrupting him.
Oh.
So I'm closing the door.
Wow.
Ben, go ahead.
All right. So, if we include First Hill, Capitol Hill, Urban Center, we get to 53,946. The population of the city of Seattle, not the Seattle metropolitan area, just the actual city of Seattle in 2016, is approximately 646,800. And then she says,
okay.
You guys suck at population estimates. Science fact. So, I was actually closer than I thought I was. Because I said the population of... I must have said the population of downtown Seattle.
You did say the population of downtown Seattle.
So the population of downtown is about 24,300. 24, who says that?
Yeah.
The city of Seattle is 646. Seattle metro area is closer to a few million. Not a few million. Like one point something something million. And that includes like that's a, you know, Redmond, Bellevue. I don't think it goes as far down as Olympia, but... we do suck at estimating populations because it's probably something that I read years and years and years ago and am trying to remember. So,
I mean, you obviously probably read what the population of Seattle was, and then I will point out
where I got that 800,000 number because I do remember hearing that, but I don't know what specific area it referred to.
I will say this. There is something that my wife would always chide me on. And that's when we were going from where we lived in wherever you call it. Trying to think of the name of it. This will just take me a second.
The name of
whenever we would go from
Beacon Hill.
Not Beacon Hill.
White Center.
Georgetown.
Georgetown.
Where we go to Georgetown to Seattle. And I'd go, I am doing it again. Whenever we remember, we go from Georgetown to, or not Georgetown. From the, whenever we went from.
It's technically
South
Georgetown
Park,
is.
There
Seattle.
We go.
Yeah.
South there Park. There we go. South Park. Whenever we go to South Park to downtown, I would go, look, there's Seattle. And Jennifer would go, we've always been in Seattle. That's downtown. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that that's part of it. You did say downtown Seattle. I do remember that. But the other thing is the difference between the city of Seattle and downtown Seattle has been beaten into my brain for a while.
You know, I think I also don't differentiate between, like, if you're talking on a granular level, yes, downtown has very clear marks. Capitol Hill is a very distinct neighborhood. Beacon Hill, First Hill, Wallingford, Ballard. Yep. I think when I said downtown, I was, I do this thing where depending on who I talk to is how I reference cities. Like if I'm talking to somebody who is not from Washington and they say, where did you grow up? I say, oh, I grew up in Seattle. If I'm talking to somebody in Seattle and they say, where do you grow up? Where did you grow up? I say, oh, I actually grew up in Olympia. If I'm talking to somebody in Olympia, they say, where'd you grow up? I say, oh, I grew up in Lacey. If I'm talking to someone in Lacey, where'd you grow up? Oh, technically, it was off Martin Way. It's technically in unincorporated Thurston County.
That's great.
You know, so when I'm talking to you and I'm saying downtown Seattle, I meant city of Seattle. I actually got in trouble as a temp job because I had to print off a bunch of mailing labels for this big mailing we were doing, and the neighborhood of all of the on the mailing list was listed. Uh-huh. So letters were sent to, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, 321 Main Avenue, Ballard, Washington, 98, blah, 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 even though it technically should have been Seattle.
Oh, no.
So all these pieces of mail that were sent to Ballard, that were sent to Wallingford, that were sent to Maple Leaf, you know, they all got sent back.
So, hey, I've got a question for you. This is a thing that has already been asked to Jennifer. She already has given me an answer for this. Just top of your head, right?
Yeah.
Slang terms for Capitol Hill.
Slang terms?
Yeah, like when people like use shorthand to refer to Capitol Hill.
One of the ones that I hate hearing, but I still hear people say it, is Cap Hill.
Yeah.
The other one is just the hill, even though we have two other hills.
Okay.
But I haven't heard any other slang terms. I'm sure there are derogatory terms for it that people like say from Tacoma say, but nobody local.
So that's the thing, is that I was trying to figure out, like, there was something that somebody was complaining about that people were saying. Too many people were saying, everybody's saying this thing, which is just a made up thing. But then somebody else said, no, we talk about that all the time. And I'm trying to figure out what that was.
Was it in reference to Capitol Hill?
Yeah, it was.
And a nickname for it?
Yeah. And I asked Jennifer about it, and I'm trying to remember what it was that...
Pike Pine Corridor?
No.
Because even though Pike and Pine go all the way through downtown, I only think of the Pike Pine Corridor as being on the Capitol Hill side of Pike Pine. Even though I'm sure it extends. I mean, when you get downtown, the Pike Pine Corridor basically is just convention center and retail. And, you know, the Paramount and... other downtown places. But yeah, no. Pike Pine Corridor's for some reason, that's just Capitol Hill, the Pike Pine section of Capitol Hill to me.
No, I think Cap Hill is what I was thinking of.
Cap Hill.
That was the one where somebody was like, oh, that's just made up. And then somebody else was like, no, it's been called that forever.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I know you don't like it, but can you agree that it was called that?
I think
back around ATF times.
I think it was...
People did use that as a term is what I want to say, I guess.
They probably did. I probably, back in ATF, I wasn't, like, I didn't hang out on Capitol Hill as much as I do now, and so I don't know. I probably wasn't as sensitive to it back then as I am now.
I think that, you know, that might be part of it, is that I actually lived in Capitol Hill at the Marwood.
Yeah.
By
frozen meats.
For a while. What's that?
By the frozen meats.
Yeah. The frozen meat. Hey, so was that it? Was that the only thing that she...
No, yeah, that was it.
She wrote...
I was the only one who got something wrong last week.
Oh, man, I can't believe it. I thought it was going to be me for sure. Oh, hey, it's time for audio fun with Paul and Ben.
Audio fun with
Are
Paul
you ready?
And Ben. Yeah.
So I got these click-clacks things. There are these magnetic balls.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw them up in the air. You will not be able to hear this until you edit this episode.
Probably not.
But I want the people to be able to hear them. Can you hear that at all?
I can hear something. It does sound like magnetic balls. Spheres is the word I was looking for because I didn't want to say balls.
Yeah, magnetic spheres. Yeah. You throw them in the air and they make a buzzing noise. This is your ASMR section. Ugh. You'd pay people money for this kind of thing.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate the Google Software Update Agent.
Well, Ben.
I have Google Earth installed on this computer, and every once in a while, the Google Software Update Agent will pop up saying, new Google software is available for your computer. And then... I cannot click on the name in the toolbar. It just doesn't do anything. And then I click on later. There are two options. It says later or install one item. And I click on later and nothing effing happens.
Oh, no.
Goddamn
Ben,
Google.
Ben, I'm so sorry.
That's a new segment, What Ben Hates.
What Ben Hates. Also known as First World Problems with Ben. Shut up. First World Problems are still problems.com. Because we talked about that first world problems. Hey man, my wife just got eaten by a robot. Well, world zero problems. I don't know how that works exactly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like famous. You're a famous actor. You're a famous actor. Let's say I don't know an actor, an entertainer, somebody who's hosted Showtime at the Apollo and Family Feud at one point in time.
Steve Harvey?
I can't think of anybody who would fit that. Oh, hey, Steve Harvey. And you might decide that you need to make a list of things that people aren't allowed to do. Are you familiar with this at all, Ben?
I'm familiar with his life advice. I haven't
heard
a lot
of
it.
Oh, okay. So when this is over... You have to go up and look. He sent a memo around to his staff about things they're not allowed to do anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are not allowed to talk to him in the hallway. They're not allowed to talk to him when he's in his makeup chair.
Really?
He's getting some time for him. Yes.
That's awesome.
And this is one of those things that I'm talking about. It's one of those things of, like, people are like, I can't believe this. This guy's a jerk and all that. And I'm like, this guy's a jerk and all that. Unless you're that guy and you just you've been in your makeup chair and you're like, I just want some time for myself, and somebody comes in and goes, Steve, I'm just wondering, and finally you're like, that's it, I'm writing a letter.
Steve,
because Steve Harvey problems.
We've got a new card for the Miss America pageant. We thought we'd go over it with you. I don't want to be talking to right now. Go away.
Oh,
all right,
no,
but something might happen. That reminds me of a very funny clip I saw of Jeff Goldblum. And he's
oh, yeah?
It's like an interview thing, and he's talking to the camera, and he says, you know, people often come up to me and they ask, how do you pronounce your last name? Is it Goldblum or Goldblum? And my answer to them is always the same. How dare you speak to me?
Yes. Yeah. The thing I like about Jeff Goldblum, I think I might have talked about this on the podcast, Ben, I'm not sure, is that he was the first time that I ever saw the thing where if you slow someone down to 1.5, they appear drunk.
Yes, those Apple commercials.
Yeah. And that's when I figured out, because, you know, it was a hard time for me as a young actor at one point in time. I was like, well, maybe I should drink so that I know how I act when I'm drunk. Because I, you know, as you know, I don't drink. And then I realized after I had tried it that I don't know how I act when I'm drunk, because when you're drunk, you think you're acting perfectly fine.
No, the best acting advice I ever got about acting drunk is just try to, if don't act drunk, try to just try to act sober. And that's how a drunk person acts.
Well, that and also, and now I know, talk at 1.5.
Talk at 1.5. There was
because that's another thing if that you do.
If our listener hasn't if our listener hasn't seen those Apple commercials where it's slowed down.
Oh yeah, take them out.
Check them out. Also, did you see that Jeff Goldblum's working a taco truck these days?
No, what?
It's called Chef Goldblum.
Oh my God, that's a great
and he
title.
It's a legit thing. He was on the streets of L.A. Chef Goldblum. He's serving people. I think it's probably for a movie, but if you're in the L.A. area,
it might just be
one of those eccentric things that people do. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hey, by the way, have I talked to you about Tannis yet?
About who?
Tannis? T-A-N-I-S, Tannis?
Tannis, no, not yet.
It is a podcast that I really, really, really like. I am on right now episode, 207. And the interesting thing is that there are some parallels between it and my failed romance horror novel Love in a Time of Zombies, which, by the way, I decided to send to them, and when purchasing it from Amazon to send to them, I found out, did you know that there are 7 different novels called Love in a Time of Zombies now? It's true.
I did not know. I know of yours.
Yeah.
I have yours.
Yeah, and mine was there were no other novels called Love in a Time of Zombies when I started. There was a poem called Love in a Time of Zombies, and that was it.
Let's get to say so. The title is basically a take on the love
in the time of cholera.
In the time of cholera, but there's a slight variation.
Love in
the
time of
because
cholera.
Yeah, it's Love in the Time of Cholera, but yours is Love in a Time of Zombies.
Yeah. Are you sure it's the time of cholera? Are you positive?
Well, Jennifer will have to fact check me. I'm pretty sure it's Love in the Time of Cholera.
I believe it's Love in a Time of Cholera. Because I think I made it exactly the same thing, replacing cholera with zombies.
Okay, so this is funny because I've known you for how long, and I thought that was a very important distinction that you made, that it wasn't exactly like the real thing, that you changed it just enough.
Oh, well, huh. Okay, here's the thing. Either it's exactly the same, or I changed it because I thought it sounded better. Uh-huh. Those would be the two things. But here's the important thing about it. There is no way that I am ever going to be comfortable with that book. I wrote it, and I still remember to this day, I read it at Annex Theater, and I was like, I can never read this out loud to anyone.
I read it for Smut.
It spinned the bottle.
Oh, did you?
At one point in time.
I don't remember that. I'm sure I was there, but I don't remember that specific one.
I'm almost positive I did. I read it either there or somewhere else. But either way, I did not feel good about it whatsoever. I still like it. It's still funny to me that it exists. But so I mailed it off to them. But right. this is the thing that's crazy is that there's another thing that I've been shopping around with this guy for a while. It also is similar to it. There's so many things that it's like, right? That I like. And it just feeds in on itself. So as I find new things to like, it's also in the, it's great. It's probably the best fiction podcast, like comedy podcasts. I like a whole bunch, but this is the first or best, I guess, way of podcast making an actual fictional world come to life, I think, that I like.
Now what is it? I must have...
It's called Tannis, T-A-N-I-S.
Oh, Tannis, okay. Yeah.
It apparently takes place in the Pacific Northwest, although I don't know if they live there for real or not.
I heard an interesting concept for a podcast that a lot of people like, and I don't know the name of it. Maybe we're talking about the same thing. It's a podcast done, I'm assuming, by one guy, and it's a murder mystery in a town where they're afflicted. Their affliction is everybody sounds exactly the same.
Oh no, this is not that.
Okay.
That is great, though.
It's a good concept. So just one person can do the entire thing.
So I have an idea for a podcast.
Oh yeah.
That I'm worried someone is going to do. Maybe somebody has already done.
Two white male identifying dudes.
No, it's a space opera. You know that whole like Blake 7, Firefly.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Where everyone is communicating with communicators.
Okay.
You know, like everybody has a wrist communicator, everybody has the and you're getting the entire story from just the communication pieces that people have. The communication devices. So you're hearing their chatter basically.
Yeah.
That's what the podcast is. It's an episode, you know, it's an episodic, like, Star Trek kind of thing, basically.
Speaking of communication.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, no, it sounds fun. Get on that. Speaking of communications, I got the some videos from you for the American Doctor Who movie, but not all of them.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure.
That's right.
Okay.
And the reason is I'm trying to get them in a sort of order.
Okay.
And so the two guys at work that are going to be doing the, or being the goons, I haven't had a chance to record with them.
Okay, cool. I was wondering if you were going to get other people or if I would have to fully that in.
Yeah. The plan is that there are going to be other people.
Cool.
And that's the other thing is that, it's going to be good for you to get all the video pieces beforehand. Cause there's some stuff that may happen. That will change what the because you've seen it already that I've altered
well
a couple of things.
Okay, so I'll just tell you this: I'm filming on Saturday the 20th, so a week from the day after tomorrow is your deadline.
Yep, I understand. There, if we don't have everything by then, we'll have to, you know, rough it in.
Yeah,
and then. But when does it go out? Is it? June?
The spin the bottle is June,
or July.
June 2nd. Yeah, June.
Okay, so yeah.
So I'm going to have like a week to put this together.
The reason that I decided about these casino goon things is that there's one guy at work who has seen American Doctor Who and he's like, I can't unsee that now. Why did you?
Now I know what because you look like with your shirt off.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan. And so I want to change at least a little bit of it to where he's like, and put a shirt on. The idea that I have is that he's going to sneak into the casino wearing a white sports coat. Heck, hence the current new avatar that I have.
Right.
So I can, that way I can film in the parking lot and it won't be as bad. Film in the parking lot at work as
right.
It were.
Right.
And now it's time to find out what Betty was saying. Listener, dear listener at home, I just want to let you know that, I love Betty very much. And, Betty and I have, numerous conversations about what she should and should not talk during the podcast. And it's with a heavy heart that I say that, if you think that I'm being, you know, too restrictive, for her time in the podcast, I would direct you to, hey Ben, which episode is it where Betty's on the entire podcast?
Almost all of them. I was actually surprised that you put your foot down and made her go away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Wait, she's really all, really?
No, not all of them. I don't know. I don't know which one it
no,
is.
There, but there was one where she was in the entire thing.
Right.
And it was just constant, nonstop shouting. And maybe that's how you feel all the time, Ben. But in this case, it was especially so.
All right.
So
I don't think our listener is going to be like, "You're so mean to that child." That is not going to enter into anybody's
that's
mind.
That's not the impression that they get. Okay.
Yeah. No.
All right.
You're in the clear, sir.
Okay. So let's go out and see. Hey, Betty.
What?
So what were you asking earlier?
Like how you missed, Ben missed off by like how much and stuff.
Oh,
right.
So
what happened?
So Ben estimated the population of downtown Seattle. This is his words, as he said, 800,000.
Yeah,
and it was 24,000. So that would be 776.
So my
thousand off.
My defense of that is I misspoke and I said downtown when I should have meant the city of Seattle.
Yes,
and even then I would have been off by about 130,000 people.
He should have said the city of Seattle, not downtown Seattle. In which case he was off by a couple hundred thousand, basically. I would say.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and Jennifer will have to listen to this episode and hear exactly what it was that you said, but she heard it at least a little bit, and I believe that it's going to turn out to be A-okay, Ben. A-okay, Ben.
She'll find something. I'm sure we said something wrong.
Goodbye.
Yeah, what is it, Betty?
Goodbye.
Oh, you're what? That's it?
Yeah, well, this is the end of the show.
Well, we still have about 7 minutes.
Oh. So what's new?
Well, let's see, Ben. Oh, here's something, Betty. Many people are convinced that this is the end of Donald Trump as president.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What would you say if somebody said, "Yep, that's it. That's the end. He's not going to be president anymore."
The impetus being him firing the
time to celebrate.
Director
oh, no.
of the FBI.
No,
time
Betty,
to celebrate.
That wasn't the Betty just said time to celebrate. Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you meant I expected you to say something like he's going to be president forever and be sad about it. But you think this might be, wait, Betty, you think this might be it?
Maybe.
Betty's shaking her head. She says maybe. Shaking her head, yes. Says maybe. So, I don't know. I really think he can weather the storm on this one too, Ben.
Remember? Did you tell Ben about take your daughter to work day yet?
Oh, did we talk about take your daughter to work day? Betty went to,
I think
to
we, yeah,
my job.
I think we talked about it last week.
Yeah,
briefly.
Yeah, we did cover that, Betty.
Briefly.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't know. Did you see the thing where he gets two scoops of ice cream and everybody else gets one?
No. Oh, we still.
Yeah, I sent it. I sent that to Betty. Betty, what did you think about that one?
What?
Yeah, Betty just wrote back. What?
Yeah.
WUT.
That's kind of my reaction too.
But here's the thing. I mean, honestly, if I were president, I would do the same thing. I was like, I want all the ice cream. Why not? but here's this is the other thing. Oh boy, I don't know, Ben.
What?
I really. When you think president, don't you expect the president to be like, I mean, wouldn't he be the guy who'd be like, no one shall have more ice cream than I, two scoops for everyone,
no,
like that.
Yeah,
that is...
No, I would expect a president, and I'm not just saying this because I vote Democrat, but I kind of imagine Obama saying something like, look, does everybody have enough? Does everybody have enough? All right. Joe, yeah. Joe, put the ice cream down, Joe. You've had enough yourself. Does everybody? We all good? All right, give me some.
Ben, I don't think I've ever heard your Barack Obama impression before. It's actually not that bad. It's better than mine, I'll tell you that. If we were gonna have to pull off a caper where someone is trying to sound like Obama.
I try not to do it too often because I feel weird in today's day and age being a white guy impersonating a black person.
Yeah, and you know, Ben, I didn't want to tell you this, but yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed in you.
Yeah, I would be disappointed.
Still, though,
in
good impression.
Too.
Good impression.
Hey.
Because, hey, here's the thing, and I'm serious about this. Doing an impression of the president is like an American... tradition.
Oh, it's protected,
as is racism.
As of
so
today,
both of those
it's protected
together.
Under the Constitution.
Really?
Well, you know, the government cannot imprison me for things I say about the government. I can be
Wait,
fired from
when?
My job,
like,
but I am not immune from consequences, but I'm immune from imprisonment.
Oh, but Ben, you can be imprisoned for laughing at a politician.
Oh my God, you can. That's right.
Yeah. Ha ha. Oh no.
God.
I didn't mean ha ha. I meant ha ha. Aha. That's all I meant by that.
Jeez.
Oh, Ben. We got to erase this now. Oh, we got two more minutes. Uh-oh. What else is going to happen?
What else has happened?
So yeah. Wait. More of this. Oh yeah, that's something we can talk about. Ben and I we've already mentioned this before, but we set up this thing where if ever we're on stage and there's a technical problem, we were going to play Invisible Ping Pong.
Yeah.
It was a thing that we made up.
Invisible
Ping Pong. Didn't we do it?
We did it
didn't
once.
Did we do it at one point in time?
We did it once.
What happened and how did that
If I recall correctly, it was actually during a segment or during a bit that we called The Actor's Nightmare.
Oh.
And a sound cue was late. Ironically enough, during a bit called The Actor's Nightmare, we had a technical mishap that was legit. And so we started playing air ping pong.
Can you remind me, The Actor's Nightmare, now this wasn't the play of the same name.
No. What is that? Christopher Durang?
Durang, I think. Or maybe. I don't know. Hey Jennifer, who did it? But
I got the collected.
What was it?
I think it's Durang. I think what happened was we walk out there and you're basically just in your underwear.
Okay, well
that's.
I'm sorry, you'll have to be more specific.
That's The Actor's Nightmare. It was basically just a bit about, hey Paul, what are you doing? And you're like, what? I don't know. What are you talking about? I could look
that
it
was,
up.
Wait, that. That was the entire I just can't believe.
Well, and then
I mean we've phoned it in a couple times, but if that's it,
was this the one where right before we were going to go on, so I knew you were going to be in your underwear, but right before we go on, you turn around to me and you're like, I'm going to take off all my clothes. And I'm like, okay. And you go down to the full Monty and walk on stage. Was that did that happen that day?
Oh wait, you know what? I think that might have been it. I really think that might have been it. if that was it, then that makes total sense because. But then, how?
I used.
What else is there? What else?
I don't remember.
You got to look it up. You got to look it up and tell
me
next.
I'll look it up
episode.
And see what else was planned. Like what the sound cue was. But I do remember, like we standing there, just kind of like, well, here we are, and then.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do, yeah, I mean, because I was naked a couple of times. One was for that piece that I think Brett wrote?
No, it was a student of his.
Oh, a student of Brett's, yeah. And then there was the mystery box, but I wasn't actually naked for that, I don't think.
You were actually naked, but you were wearing a box.
Oh, okay, all right,
yeah.
All right, there we go.
I have a great picture
but,
though,
right.
of that.
Oh, hey, post it to the website.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess, Ben.
Well, that's it.
On that note.
On that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, it's great talking to you. Hopefully nothing has happened to democracy while we were gone.
Yeah. No. Well, and if anything does happen to democracy, we'll talk about it next week on the Goody Lawrence podcast.
On the Goody Lawrence podcast. Keep it wrong, Ben.
Keep it wrong, Paul.